Paul begins here to take up residence in Corinth. And there's a mention here about Aquila and Priscilla, who left Rome. Claudius, I don't know if they mentioned, yeah, they didn't mention the emperor. Claudius had told all the Jews, get out. You can't live in Rome anymore. And Tacitus mentions this. It says there was a big riot going on down there. Impulsore quodam Cresto, at the instigation of a certain Crestus, which is as far as he could get it. They were arguing over Christ. And I don't know whether anybody feels that strongly nowadays that they would argue like that, you know. Aquila and Priscilla went to Corinth, but all the Jews had to get out of Rome because of this, probably a big argument, not just I disagree with you kind of argument, you know, a real one. And so that's why he said, you know, we'll get them all out. Then Paul, remember, Paul earned his own living. He was a tent maker. Now, he made tents out of goat's hair. That's where he comes from. Is famous, or was, I don't know if they still do, for the goat's hair tents, which the Roman army bought because they were great. You know, they were very waterproof. They were very... That was Paul's business occupation, because every rabbi had to have an occupation to support his wife and his family. He didn't live from the Torah. So he's now, you know, preaching all the time, testifying to the Jews that Christ, that the Christ was Jesus. The Messiah has come. He died, he was crucified, he's risen, he's here with us, he can change you, he can heal you. You know, just turn to him. Of course, some did and some didn't. And so he finally got tired of this in the synagogue and left it. And he shook out his garments. You know, I don't even want the dust from you to be around me. We don't do that kind of stuff anymore, too. Anyway, your blood be on your own heads. So then he went and lived with a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next to a synagogue. And then these beautiful things start to happen. You see? Crispus, the synagogue official, came to believe in the Lord. And so one synagogue throws him out. The other, the leader, becomes a Christian, along with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians who heard, believed, and were baptized. Now, why did our Lord have such a mercy on Corinth? Because they didn't know anything. Was supposed to say, "Si Corinthizi, you live like a Corinthian," was the worst insult you could give to somebody in those days. See, Corinth was a town between two bodies of water, two ports, and then there was this canal. I just thought today it might be nice to get a feel for, you know, this isn't in the air someplace. This is, you know, you can still see the canal. And so the boats would have to be hoisted up and then dragged through the canal by horses and out the other side. But that meant it was a double port town. Port towns are never famous for being morally very good, you know. Look at Marseille. So that was Corinth, because the Lord knew that underneath all that vice and all that stuff, there was a simplicity. He poured out charismatic gifts on those people like, well, And so then they got to arguing about them. So Paul, and you know that, finally in chapter 14 of the letter, he says, well, let's get this straight. What's the greatest gift? Prophecy. Because you're speaking in the Lord's day. You want to pray in tongues? Hallelujah, go ahead and pray in tongues. But the gift is prophecy. Understanding the mystery and being able to proclaim it. That's the great thing. So Paul, he loves these people, and he wrote two letters to them, like Thessalonica, what's another town like? Care for them, love for them. And overlooking, remember how the first letter starts. I hear there's immorality among you that doesn't even happen among the pagans. A man's living with his stepmother. You've cleaned that up. Anyway, I just thought, that's why it's useful to read a nice commentary, especially on Acts, because then you get a feel for what's going on here. All right. We have this text now in 16. We're moving along. Getting ready for the Feast of the Ascension, which we don't have till Sunday. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And then Jesus explains it. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. I promise you. I promise you. So if things get tough and things get tough for Christians, I am promising you I will turn that grief into joy, either in this world or in the next. But you have my promise that that will happen. So don't leave off following me. Follow me with your whole heart and your whole soul. And don't worry about what the world thinks.